Well, it's good to be back this evening. Good to be anywhere, I'll tell you. How many have been sick this last week? By the looks of you, no, I'm kidding. Things kind of hit your funny bone. You know, when he started singing that song, it reminded me of my former pastor, Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson, when he was brand new in the ministry, he had an opera voice. I mean, the guy, he had a beautiful voice. And he loved to do funerals. He said, I'd rather preach a funeral than any message anywhere. Because he said, people are thinking about dying and you can really get the gospel to them and everything. And so he also did weddings. And he said, I don't like them as much, but I enjoy them, you know. And so he was there at this wedding. He was supposed to conduct this wedding. And the bride hadn't showed up. And the bride hadn't showed up. And the bride hadn't showed up. And the groom, they're pacing back and forth. And they come to Dr. Robertson and say, look, we gotta fill in here something with something so that we can get this thing, you know, until they'll get here and we can then take off and everything. And they said, Dr. Robertson, would you sing for us? Well, sure I can and everything. And so he gets up there and he says, I come to the garden alone. True story. He said, I didn't realize what I had done until after I had sung that first line, and somebody came to the garden there alone. Amen. All right. Well, talking about Zephaniah, we have, each time in the introduction, we have read the first three verses. I'd like to continue on a few of those verses, starting with verse number 4, so you can get even a bigger picture of what we're talking about. The Bible says, and I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from his place, and the name of the cherubims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. Father, help us tonight as we see a different picture than we're used to. Lord, we usually think of love as being something sweet and something of light and all of these things associated with love. And it seems like love expresses itself for the good of those that are loved or by those that are loved. And Lord, this is the reason I think it's difficult to associate love with the judgment of God. Lord, help us tonight as we look at the dark side of love, that you might open our understanding of the character of God as we go through some of these things tonight. Lord, help us. We love you. You exalt yourself in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The dark side of love. You don't normally think of being dark when you think about love. But as you read Zephaniah and you really study this out, much of it does have to do with judgment. But there's much more to it than that. Some people see like one nature of God is expressed by love, and the other nature of God is expressed by evil or by judgment. And they seem to contradict each other. And to the extent that some people think that there may be two gods, they go to that extreme. Liberal preachers. I remember when I got saved back in 75, there were a lot of preachers that were just nothing but preaching love. Love, 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 love. You had the peace movement and the beatniks and all that, and they were going around putting daisies in gun barrels and you know, peace and love and all of this. And supposedly that was what was supposed to be right. And the preachers, the liberal preachers got a hold of this. And you'd never heard a message on wrath. It was all about the love of God. And God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love, but nobody talked about the dark side of the love of God. And consequently, they watered down love, making it just weak, making a loving God tolerant, and kind of impotent. That if you were against anything or if you talked about the wrath of God, there was something wrong with you. The Bible is filled with the wrath of God. And they've caused love to be some fuzzy, sentimental, ooey-gooey, feel good about yourself instead of rather feeling that concern for the object that is being loved. And understand something. God lives in constant consideration of you. The difficult time in my life as a missionary, and boy, I begin to doubt some of this love of God and situations that we were going through and things of this nature, and you begin to question. And finally it come to my realization that God, no matter what's there, no matter what's happening, God is living in constant consideration of me. And if you'll get a hold of that, that'll get you out of some of them pity parties. That'll get you through some of the difficult times. That'll bring you down off of the mountain sometimes, and you realize that God is there even when we don't think he is. I want you to think about the surgeon's knife. There's a dark side to the love of God. It's a love that will prompt a parent to take a child that is sick at home and is in urgent need of care, and you'll take that child and you'll pick them up and you'll get in the truck or the car or whatever your vehicle is, and you'll take them to a doctor, a surgeon that you know his name. I know the name of my doctor. I've been here almost 6 years, and I've still not seen the face of my doctor. I have no idea if they'd walk in, who they'd be. But yet, if one of my children was in an emergency situation, I would take my child to a person that I don't even know their face. I know nothing about them outside of that they have a piece of paper on a wall. And I'm going to give my child to that person, knowing that they're going to take a scalpel and split him wide open. Death is in the hand of that doctor. And yet, I would relinquish my child to that doctor, and knowing that he is going to take a knife that normally could kill somebody and cut them wide open. That's called the dark side of love. That surgeon sees something I don't see. That surgeon sees that tumor. He sees that cancer. He sees that growth, that thing that is going to destroy my child. And I am trusting him so much that I will place my child in their hands. When they take those injections of chemo that would kill people, and you allow them to inject that chemo and radiation and things like this into the body of your loved one, trusting and believing that they know what they're doing and that they're going to do what is right and what is best. God does the same thing with his children. God takes that child that is perfect, and he puts them in a situation, it may be cancer. He puts them in a situation of a tragic car wreck. He puts them in a situation to where their heart stops. God knows what he's doing. He's not doing it to hurt his child any more than I am doing this, giving him to the doctor to hurt my child. I want my child to be better, and that's why I'm allowing him to be subjected to the suffering and to the misery that they're going to have to go through, and it hurts. Life hurts. And many times we begin to question our Heavenly Father. How could he do this? How could a loving God do this? Well, how could you as a parent? It's called the dark side of love. The great physician loves us when he subjects us to the surgery just as much as when he hears our prayers, just as much as when he comforts our soul and he brings that sunshine in the morning. He loves us just as much when the hailstorm and the tornado tears your house apart. He doesn't love us any less. Too many Christians, they think when something's going wrong and something's bad or something is hurting or something big problem comes, that God don't love us anymore or he's forsaken me. No, he loves you, and that's why he's letting you go through that very thing. The surgeon's knife. And he's putting you in that position, not anybody in that position. He's putting you in that position. When we lose a loved one, God knows. He knows exactly what's going on. When there's health problems, when there's financial problems, when there's suffering, when there's agony, when your mind just, you think there's no other way, there's, what can I do? It's called the dark side of love. His love has not changed one ounce. Possibly he loves you more when you're going through those things than he did before. The promises of God. As we go through Zephaniah, it seems like they're dark days. The day of the Lord is there. It's tragic, it's horrible. He's judging the lost. He's judging the church. He's judging religion. He's judging those that pray to God. He's judging those that have forsaken God. He's judging everybody. Sometimes our Heavenly Father, the great physician, will operate on us without giving us a sedative. Like they did back in Doc Holliday days. They hand you a stick. I wouldn't chew on a bullet. I'd probably make it go off. But they'd give them a piece of leather or a stick. They didn't have all the sedatives. In the Civil War, many times, many people holding the individual down with no sedatives while they would remove a leg, take that saw, and begin to saw through that leg. Many times God allows us to go through some of these surgeries, through that surgeon's knife, with no sedative whatsoever. We just seems like we have to bite down on a stick. But we can always be sure that no matter what is going on, God says, I'm with you. And I will do what is right. I will do what is best. I will do what is necessary in your life and mine. And when the surgery is done, he said, I'll pour that balm of Gilead into that wound and give the healing. Are these situations real? Yes, every one of us in this room, your mind has been going to different situations and things in your life that were not fun. And some you thought you had a handle on it and some you didn't. And some you thought you would never get through, and yet here we are. Never doubt the love of God. God knows if, and God knows when it's best for us to go through that valley of suffering, and even, the Bible says, the valley of death. He said in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through, he said, it's going to happen. I will walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it'll be there. He said, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. And this is the part that always just begin to play crazy with my mind. He said, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. My dad had a rod. Any of your dads ever have a rod? And mama had the yardstick and the broom and the fly swatter and the coat hanger and hose, garden hose. She grabbed everything. I wasn't too comforted by Dad's rod. Were you? I should have been. Because as I grow older, now I know that God, that my dad was doing that and using that rod not to hurt me, but for my good. Just like the Heavenly Father, the things and the situations that come in your life, He's not doing that to harm you. He's doing those things, allowing these things for our good, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. We have to realize and learn that we have a shepherd. A shepherd, like a surgeon, can use that staff to jerk our tail. He can put a knot on our head, or he can reach down there and he can begin to just caress and comfort. The same staff, same rod, but he can also take us to the woodshed. The darker side of love. He'll not hesitate us to take us through that dark valley for our benefit. All these things that happen to us are not by accident. God is not surprised. There is no accidents with God. All these things that happen to us are there for a reason. He says He's doing this for our good. And we know that all things, we quote these verses, but I don't think we realize what we're quoting. He's talking about the dark side of love. He said, and we know that how many? All things. That didn't leave anything out. That leaves out all the sickness. No, all the sickness is included. All the death, all the suffering, all the disease, all the heartaches. All of these things, he says, we know that all things work together for what? The dark side of love is working together for our good. To who? To them that love God. Now, if you don't love God, they're trying to get you to God. They're trying to direct you to the cross, to Calvary, where you can be saved and have that Heavenly Father, that great physician that can help you through all of these situations and circumstances. But he said, all things work together for good to them that love God. Notice he goes on, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That is his purpose in my life. I thought I was going to live and die on the mission field. We did. We was going to die there. God had a different plan. And God had to change my mind and my heart. God may have sent you in a different direction than you thought you wanted to go. You might have lost a job. Look, you didn't lose a job. God's trying to put you where He wants you. If we will live for God and do what God says, there is nothing that is going to happen to us by accident. All of these things that are happening to those that love God, that are called according to His purpose, those are good things. It's that dark side of love. God's using these things in our life to show us how much He really loves us. He loves us most when He's carefully operating on us. That's why He said, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." That's not fun. It's called the dark side of love. When God is trying to show His love towards us, whether it be through that rod or that staff, whether it be through that sickness, that health, no matter what it is. Jesus explains this in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away," removes it. He says, "And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges," He prunes it. When you go out and you cut a branch off a tree, I mean, that tree squeals. It hurts the tree. It hurts the plant. Whatever you're working on, you go out there and start tending grapes, and they go out there and they start cutting and pulling and throwing. But God says, "I do it to every one of my children." Why? "That it may bring forth more fruit." See, God has a purpose. God has a purpose in our sickness. God has a purpose in our finances. God has a purpose in who we meet. God has a purpose in who we work for. God has a purpose of who's in our family. God has a purpose in the community that we live in. God has a purpose. And through these things, God is trying to work His purpose. And they're all good, because they all work together for good according to His purpose. So if we're looking at things the way God looks at them, if we're looking at the situation or the circumstance and we're just all mealy-mouthed, I mean, just pity party every day and just poor me and how could God? You're looking at it wrong. Maybe you don't love God as much as you thought you did. But He said this happens to those that love God and are the called according to His purpose. If all you do is complain and bellyache and bad mouth and everything, there's a serious problem, and it's a spiritual problem. Every branch, He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We have to remember that the Father reaches into our lives and prunes out that which is hurting us. He's not out there just ripping off vines, just to rip off vines and prune them. The things that are hurting us, He's going to work in our life to manipulate and get that out. That's what the surgeon does. That's what the surgeon's knife is for. That's why in your dark love, you take your child to that surgeon knowing that knife which is there to destroy will cut open your son, but it will also remove that tumor. And in so doing, he's helping. He's removing that that is actually doing the harm. God may bust up relationships to try to keep you away from people that's going to destroy you. I don't care whether it's neighbors, family members, co-workers, whatever. God is working in all of these different ways, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. And this dark side of love, this judgment, this bringing us to a point that we will look to him instead of looking to ourselves or looking to the government or looking to other people, that we will finally look to him. That's what this is about. Removing those things that are destroying us. Today he may bring us off wind, but yet tomorrow the temperature might go down even more. He still loves you. He still loves you. Christian, if you're a child of God and are in a place of suffering, be assured, God loves you. He has not forsaken you. These people in Jerusalem and in Judah, when he delivers this message, it is six verses so far, and it's nothing but total destruction. And you say, how in the world is this love? Oh, it is. Regardless of how it may appear, he loves you. And nothing can ever change that love. Now, there's two contrasts of love here. It's difficult to associate love with the judgment of God. The two appear contrary to each other. And the book of Zephaniah is filled with the wrath of the judgment of Almighty God. There's so many verses here that we could look at. But there's the constant whisper as you read through Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Right in the midst of him pouring out just vials of judgment, he said, hold on, I love you, and I'm doing this for you. He presents that dark side of the love of God. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. Zephaniah opens with judgment in a more severe manner than any of the other prophets in all the Bible. Like the writings of many of the prophets, the book Zephaniah follows a pattern of judgment on all the people because of their sin, followed by the restoration of God's chosen people. He's doing this separating and revitalizing and bringing his people back to himself. Zephaniah's primary target for the message is the nation of Judah. They've fallen into grievous sin under the reign of Manasseh and his son. They're wicked beyond belief. Zephaniah's prophecy pleaded for goodness and purity in the nation. But yet, they were sinful to the core. The people of Judah had long since turned their back on God, not only in their personal lives, but also in their worship. If you remember, as we read already, he was passing judgment on those that were calling out to him. Be interesting when we get there. The people, it's a reflection of their depth, the depth of their sin, and their deep need for the people of God, the ones that are still remaining to draw nigh and come back to Jesus Christ, come back to God Himself. God's calling on Judah and us with a hope of the future. I don't know about you, but when I read these passages and I see what's happening, what's going to happen, it's prophesied. Every prophecy we see, God has fulfilled, except what's in the future here. And we know God will fulfill that. And the devastation is so tremendous. But God's given us hope. I've not appointed you into the day of wrath. Hallelujah. As believers, we are exempted from that. But He still wants us to know what's going on, so that while we have the time that we can dedicate our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and be faithful witnesses of the gospel, getting the gospel to these people around the world before it's too late for them. They, as many of their colleagues here, were going to be destroyed. They were going to pass through this judgment. And many of the people that we know that are not saved right around us, they're going to pass through this same judgment that he's talking about in Zephaniah, if somebody doesn't get to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This should so frighten us and draw us to Christ and encourage us and challenge us with the truth of God's word and the love that God has to give us this word to remind us in this day and age that we still have time to get the gospel out before it is eternally too late. Oh, we can go on with life and not say anything, and we'll go to heaven. But I never forget the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, the last couple of verses in that chapter. It says, "And they shall come forth." And God says, "I'll pull the curtain back." And he says, "And they shall look upon the carcasses of them that are burning in hell. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And it shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." And then God says, "I'll wipe all tears from their eyes," because there's going to be a lot of weeping. When you see the opportunities and see the people that you could have witnessed to and should have witnessed to, and God tried to get you to witness to, and you kept quiet, knowing what God was going to do. When he pulls that curtain back, that scares me. I don't want to see my people in hell burning because I did not tell them. I want them, if they're there, they're there because they rejected the gospel that I've given them. But if I've not given them the gospel, tears are going to flow from a broken heart. Oh, if I just would have. The seriousness of sin, the certainty of divine judgment, and the hope of eternal salvation for those who will turn to Jesus Christ. I want you to read the book of Zephaniah at least once a week. The entire book, there's only three chapters, for Pete's sake. So that as we get into this verse by verse, chapter by chapter, you'll be aware, you'll know what's going on, and God will be able to take this book and he will work in our lives in a greater way. It's a tremendous book, and God put it here for us. Father in heaven, Lord, the dark side of love. Oh, you love us so much that you let us read this and preserve this word for us that we might know what you have in mind. And Lord, the things that come in our life, help us to realize that you are that surgeon and you are showing your divine love to us. And the promises of God are full and wonderful. If we will but follow you and obey you. God, help us to know that yes, you are a God of love, but that you are a God of wrath on the dark side of that love. Father, have your way in each one of our hearts. We love you. And ask that you'd bless this study in Jesus' name. Amen.